السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدعاء: اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There can be no joy to a believer greater than speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and speaking about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, inshallah, we wish to discuss a very important event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which took place in the fifth year of the Hijri in the month of Shawwal. We are in the month of Shawwal. Just like how the month of Ramadan has just passed us, and there were very significant incidents and very significant important events that took place in the month of Ramadan. We had the Battle of Badr in the second year of the Hijri. We had the conquest of Fatah Makkah, which took place in the eighth year of the Hijri. And there were different other aspects as well. But similarly, this month of Shawwal holds near and dear to the hearts of the believers. Firstly, the first of Shawwal is the day of Eid. It's a very special day in the life of every Muslim. But just to concentrate a little bit on this important event that took place in this month of Shawwal in the fifth year of the Hijrah. The Ayatul Karima which we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces this event by beautifully explaining to us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, people of Iman, udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. So before Allah Ta'ala goes into the actual event that Allah wants to speak about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention. This Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, whenever it comes in Quran, Allah is drawing our attention. That means people of Iman, pay careful attention. There's a very important message that is coming. The whole Quran is important, but it is the beauty of Kalamullah that at different times Allah Ta'ala uses different phrases, Allah uses different words, Allah uses different ways to draw the attention of the listener, to draw the attention of the reciter. Ya ayyuhal nas, ya ayyuhal rasul. Different. Ya Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, people of Iman. Then in an introduction to this event, this important event that took place, Allah Ta'ala first tells us, before we even get into that, people of Iman, you should remember Allah's kind favor over you. So this event, Allah Ta'ala tells us that it is a great mercy, it is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, for purposes of our discussion today, we will be speaking about what in the Qur'an al-Kareem is termed as the Battle of Ahzab, Suratul Ahzab. Or it is also known as the Battle of the Trench, the Battle of Khandaq, the Confederates, different names. We'll come to the name just now, so that we can appreciate why the Qur'an al-Kareem names the surah in this particular way as well. But Imam, or rather Hazrat Hussein bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made a very, very important statement. He said, we used to teach our children about the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like how we would teach them the Quran. We would teach our children about the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like how we would teach them the Quran. Imam Zuhri rahimahullah, great scholar, he writes and he says, that when one studies the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is great in-depth lessons for a person which would benefit him both in this world as well as the hereafter. And then the scholars, they write and they say that it's so important to study events of history. to study events of history, and more importantly, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because life is such that history often repeats itself. Life is such that history often repeats itself, and we are fortunate that we have the best of examples, and that is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, in this very surah is the verse, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So Allah Ta'ala, in the middle of describing these incidents of the battle of Ahzab, or the battle of the trench, the battle of the Khandaq, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that for you in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful example. So I mentioned few things about it and few beautiful incidents that took place in the battle of the trench or in the battle of Ahzab. So this took place in the fifth year of the Hijri. Now to understand what happened here, we just need to have a bit of a background of the beautiful city of Medina Munawwara. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrat from Makkah Mukarrama and he comes to Medina Munawwara, then there were predominantly two Arab tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj tribe. Very important, we know who these people were, because the very foundation of Medina Munawwara was at their hands. The youngsters from the Aus tribe and the Khazraj tribe, five of them, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon their invitation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made decision, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat. Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Asad bin Durara, Usayd bin Hudayr, etc. These were the initial leaders of Medina Munawwara. We should know their names, know who they are. They're very, very important people in our lives. May Allah ta'ala elevate their status. May Allah ta'ala fill their qubur with nur. If it was not for them and their beautiful invitation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we wouldn't have had Medina Munawwara today. Khair. So they had the Aus and they had the Khazraj tribes. They were predominant in Medina Munawwara. But in Medina Munawwara, residing there as well, were the Jewish settlers, the Jewish tribes, etc. So you had the Banu Nadir, the Banu Qaynuqa, you had the different Jewish tribes that were there as well. So this Banu Nadir tribe, they were a very predominant tribe. And from the initial stages of Rasulullah's coming to Medina Munawwara, they had this dislike and they had this hatred. So there was a murder that took place. They wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to resolve the matter, but they had an ulterior motive. Their ulterior motive was, let's invite Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the pretext that we want him to resolve this matter. But when he comes to us, we'll position him in a certain place, in a certain spot, and then we will drop the wall, or some narration they'll drop a boulder, with the intention of assassinating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the intention. So long and short of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them 3 days. He said, listen, you people have to vacate and you'll have to leave Medina Munawwara. You'll have broken every treaty. Because when they came to Medina Munawwara, there were treaties, there were agreements, there were ways in which they would coexist, etc. But these people broke it. So now the fact that you've broken it, you have to leave Medina Munawwara. Look at the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, listen, as many and as much of your belongings that you take it and you go with you. Take your money, take, we don't want any of that. The buildings, you leave that, you got no right to the buildings. But you take whatever you have to do and you vacate Medina Munawwara. So they left Medina Munawwara and they settled in a place called Khaybar. You have heard this now recently in the news, you have heard a lot about the Jews and the area of Khaybar, etc. Nevertheless, they settled in this area of Khaybar. Now when they settled in Khaybar, this bitterness now, it only increased. And they would talk about reminisce in their days of Medina Munawwara. So their leader, he said, listen, we need to launch an attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what he did, he said, we don't have strength, Banu Nadir, we're not very strong enough. So he started conjuring up support. Now remember I said there's different names to this battle. One of the names, or where it's famously known as, and how the Quran describes it as, Al-Ahzab. Al-Ahzab means the confederates. It means the armies. Now, there's a reason why, and where we say we can draw many parallels from history. See what happened back then, and look what's happening today. You can draw the parallels for yourself and see. Just like how today, the Yahud and the Jews, etc., how they're conjuring up support to attack the Muslims in Palestine, and they're getting the support of the US, and they're getting the support of the UK and all these different groups of people. This already happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Already happened to the Muslims. So this leader of theirs, he started conjuring up support. So the first thing he did, he went to the Banu Ghatfan. The Banu Ghatfan was one of the big Arab tribes. And he tried to conjure support, but they were not biting. So the old tactic of the Yahud, as you can see today, they say, Pesa Pek Tamasha Dek. That's the name of the game today. So what they did, he said, listen, oh Banu Ghatfan, you all join us in attacking the Muslims. Every year, the first produce that Khaybar gives of the year, the very first produce that the trees give, the most lush and the best khajur producers there in Khaybar at the time, whatever it is, that very first crop that comes off, we give it to you. And we give you a portion of the land and many promises and whatever have you. So they got the support of the Banu Ghatfan. Then they go to the Mushrikeen of Makkah, Abu Sufyan and his people, and they say to them, listen, here's a golden opportunity. We've got the support of all the different tribes along the way. There was Banu Ghatfan and there were smaller tribes. And we've got the Banu Qurayza and the Banu Nadir and the Banu Qaynuqa and all these different Jewish tribes all on our side. Now is the right time for us. We have to launch an attack on Medina Munawwara. Remember, you had Badr. The Muslims went through Uhud. Shortly after Uhud was Hamra'ul Asad, they went through that. And now very shortly after that, they're facing this challenge of Khandaq, where the Ahzab, where the different confederates and the different types of groupings and armies are all going to gather together. And what is very interesting and to keep in mind, like I said, you can draw these parallels today in the political spectrum of the world, what we're witnessing, that all these tribes never really got along. They don't really get along. But they come together on one common goal. And that common goal was to launch an attack on Medina Munawwara. And we see that today as well. That politically, many of the countries, etc., they may not have the same common goals. But they'll come together with this, that how we can launch an attack on the Muslims, etc. Khair. So when the intelligence now reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what they intend to do, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us some beautiful life lessons from the advice of Quran. Allah Ta'ala advised Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shawirhum fil amr, consult, linta lahum walau kunta faddan ghalid al qalban faddu minhum fa'fu anhum wastaghfir lahum wa shawirhum fil amr, that consult with the sahaba ikram. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls a mashura, he calls a consultation with the sahaba ikram. And mashura is such a beautiful thing in our life that Quran has given us. It draws the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coupled with that, the strengths of the ummah are exposed and comes to light via mashura. So this consultation is taking place. And the giant Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi, he was of Persian descent. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this attack is going to happen to us, and now it was evident that this attack was going to happen and they had to protect Medina Munawwara. Remember, Badr was some 120-180 km out, they had to go. Uhud happened in the vicinity of Medina Munawwara. So now they were again going to be in Medina Munawwara and they needed to protect Medina Munawwara. So he gives the opinion, he says, O Nabi of Allah, where we come from, one of the methodologies we would use in war was, we would create a trench around the city. We would create a trench around the city. Now this was something foreign. It wasn't something that the Muslims did before. Neither did any of the Arabs do this before. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in consultation looked at his opinion, saw it, saw merit in it. And the Sahaba Ikram and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his opinion and they started digging the trench around Medina Munawwara. Nobody will know the exact amounts, but plus minus, this, you know, what they say, plus minus what the books of history mention. Around 3.5 miles around Medina Munawwara, they dug this trench. About 9 meters wide, plus minus, and 4.5 meters deep. And what was amazing about this was, every sahabi contributed to this. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, they dug this trench. Now before I get to some important incidents in this particular digging and whatever happened, just let me wrap up quickly with regards to the actual battle itself. So they launched this attack on Medina Munawwara, 3,000 Muslims, 12, some say 13,000 disbelievers. All of them come with this hope and intention of launching this attack. And now their intention was clear that this is now the last straw. Now this is where we wipe out Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the books of Sirah, some of the Muarrikhun, so beautifully they translate it and they say it like this. They say that this was the victory against all odds. Beautiful. They say, call this the victory of the Muslims, the victory against all odds, because everything was against the Muslims. But their yaqeen and their obedience to Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they launched this attack, the Muslim casualties, shuhada of the Muslims, were plus minus about 6. But the end result was that the Muslims were victorious. And the first person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put forward in the battle, that you go into hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat, was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was he the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only was he the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our ustad, Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman sahab, mentioned very beautifully on this point. He said, if you analyze and you see, when it came to matters of great qurbani, matters of great sacrifice, then the people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often put first in the front line were those who were closest to him. Those who were his family, those who were his son-in-law, they were the ones who were put closest when it came to sacrifice and qurbani. Nevertheless, the Muslims were, the end result of this entire campaign was that the Muslims were victorious. But few beautiful incidents just to mention. Whilst they were digging the trench, there was great, there was this love and this muhabba that was going and happening amongst the companions. So we spoke about this great person, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember him, and we keep the names of the companions alive, alhamdulillah, in our communities. It's a great thing. We name our children after the Sahaba Ikram. We name masajid after them. We name madrasas after them. Because it is only right, it is the haq and the right that they have over us, their great sacrifices and their qurbani that they gave. Today we have deen in front of us. So nevertheless, whilst they were digging this trench, there was this, you know, this love that was going on, and this beautiful, healthy banter that goes amongst people at times. So the muhajirun, the people that made hijrah, they said, you see this whole trench and what we're doing. Salman radiallahu anhu, he's a muhajir. He gave this, he belongs to us. Salman is from the muhajirin. So the Ansar said, no. Salman is ours. He is part of the Ansar. And this beautiful, you know, banter was going on. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, he heard this and he said, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. No, Salman is from me. He's from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were digging, and the Sahaba ikram, and this is a very important incident that takes place. They come across a boulder. Very, very difficult for them to crack this boulder, unable to bust this boulder. And then they call for help, and who comes to help and assist? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the beauty of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Himself, he comes, and this boulder which many of the sahaba couldn't break, in 3 strikes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam busts it, he breaks it. But very importantly, when he breaks it, with each strike he tells them certain important things. He says, the keys of Sham has been given to us, the keys of Persia have been given to me, and the keys of Yemen have been given to me. With each strike, as the sparks came, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this prophecy. And the Mu'arrikhun write this thing here, amazingly. See what they say? They say in a matter of 20 years, it was barely 20 years, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, and all those areas and all those territories had come under the control of the Muslims. How true was the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So whilst they were digging this trench, there's a young sahabi by the name of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Remember him, remember his name. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sees and he witnesses that Sahaba ikram came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they complained of hunger. They lifted their kurta, famous, we all know the incident. And they showed that they have a stone tied to the belly. Why they would tie the stone? It keeps the back and the stomach straight. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallah, what akhlaq. Again, whenever somebody came with these type of, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have such sympathy. He would deal with people with such, you know, love and softness. He lifted his kurta and he showed them. He said, see, you're going through this, you have one. I got two stones tied to my belly. Nevertheless, Jabir radiallahu anhu sees this and he's affected. He can't handle it. So he goes to his wife. He says, listen, what I saw today, my heart is breaking. I can't manage. I can't handle it. I can't see that the Nabi of Allah is hungry. What do you have at home? She says, listen, there's a kid goat here, and there's just about 1.5 kilos of wheat, barley, whatever it is. I can prepare some wheat, I can make some bread, and coupled with that, we can prepare this goat. Invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but be just explain to Nabi Sallam that quantity is little. So maybe Nabi Sallam 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people, etc. This would be sufficient for the dawat. And she mentions this to him as well. The narration mentions, she said to him, listen, don't embarrass me. Whatever you do, don't embarrass me. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he whispers, he explains to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would like to make a meal for you, I want to feed you. You and just a few sahaba come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, what do you have? He says, there's a kid goat and there's about 1.5 kilos of wheat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tell them, don't do anything till I get there. Tell them not to do anything till I get there. And then he makes an elan. He makes an elan and he says, everyone that is here, come. We all got a dawat, we got an invitation, we're going to have a meal at the home of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Can only imagine what happened to us with Jabir when he reached home. He comes home and then he tells his wife, he says, hey, didn't I tell you, I told you, don't embarrass me. If it was us, maybe we'll have to make our bed in the masjid, you know, to come back. But khair, then he said to her, she asked him, she said, did you inform them? She said, yes, I informed them. She said, then I got no fear. Anything that comes into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must most definitely prosper. Nabi sallallahu alayhi comes, he takes his blessed saliva, he mixes it with the food, and then he starts with his own hand, starts feeding the people. Some narrations say 1,000+ sahaba ikram were there. And the narration mentions that every one of them ate. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fed and he fed. And then when everybody had eaten, he ate. And then he gave the family of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala to eat and he told him to share it with the neighbors. This was what the sahaba ikram witnessed once again, the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'll end this discussion, our time is almost up. On the incident of Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his incident in this entire battle. So he was sitting with some people, the narration is there in Hayatul Sahaba, and somebody made a statement, he said, you know, if we were living in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we would have done faltu, katha wa katha, I would have done this and I would have done that. And so he said to them, he said, listen, I want to tell you all something, talk is cheap. Sorry, I'm just paraphrasing it. So somebody will go look in and say, Mawlana said talk is cheap, it's not there in a kitab. It's a paraphrasing now, we're just putting it so we can understand it. He said, listen, to say and to speak is easy. But let me give you my incident. Let me tell you of my own incident. We were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To talk and say, I would have done this and I would have done that. And you know, actually the man made a statement and he said, you know, if we were present in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we wouldn't have even allowed him to walk on the earth. We would have put our backs and he must walk on our backs. So to, according to that level, according to Qila wa Qal, something to this effect, O kama qal, something to this, this is what they said. So he said, listen, let me tell you something. It's very easy to speak. Let me tell you of just one incident that we experienced with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who was Hazrat Hudhayfa? He was known as Sahibu Sirri Rasulillah. He was known, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known as the confidant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the secrets. He was very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, on that night in Khandak, it was bitterly, bitterly cold. He said, we never ever experienced cold like that in Medina in our entire life. He said, forget the cold. It was such a dark night, such a pitch black night. He said, if you had to lift your hand in front of your face, you would not be able to see your hand. He said, Nabi Sassan came to us. He said, I was so cold, I had nothing. I had one piece of cloth, one garment. It was a garment which belonged, it was a shawl which belonged to my wife. And he said, to keep warm, I had to sort of crouch myself just so that that garment could cover my entire body. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made an elan. He said, who is there that would take from me and go into the enemy ranks and go and bring some information? Who is a spy? Go and get some information and tell us what's going on. He said, nobody was ready. He said, not a single soul picked up his hand or said, listen, O Nabi of Allah, I'm ready. He said, second time, third time, and he said, this was not done out of disobedience to Rasulullah, but it was such a bitterly cold night that none of us had that courage. He said, Nabi Sallallahu looked at me. He said, O Hudhayfa, will you go? He said, I was such a scared person. I was very, very scared. I was, you know, by nature I had fear. And yet the Nabi of Allah is asking me. He said, I didn't know how to get out of it, but nevertheless I agreed. He said, Nabi Sallallahu perceived my worry, my concern, and the Nabi of Allah made dua for me. He said, Nabi Sallallahu made a special dua for me. And when Nabi Sallallahu made this dua for me, he said that anxiety and that fear that I was experiencing, immediately on the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that anxiety left me. He said, I went and Nabi Sallallahu, this is the beauty of Sahaba, Nabi Sallallahu gave me an instruction. He said, you go into the enemy ranks and all you do is bring information, that's all. You don't do anything further. And I just want to highlight this one point and then we'll terminate. So he says he goes there into the enemy ranks. And when he goes, he said, prior to this, I didn't know who was Abu Sufyan. I didn't have an idea who he was. But anyway, I get into their ranks and I get in. He said, I got an even bigger shock of my life because I'm hearing them and I'm hearing how scared they are. We had this fear and this way, but they are themselves, they are fear, they are afraid, they are scared. And they were preparing to run away. They were preparing to escape. And then he said, but I had an opportunity. I had the clear opportunity to take out Abu Sufyan. I had an opportunity to, you know, I had a clear shot. I could have put him down. But the words of Rasulullah, you know, it rang in my ears, meaning that I was instructed to do this and I would do only that. Nothing less and nothing more. According to what Nabi Sallallahu asked us to do, that is what we would do. Hey, there's a beautiful dua that Nabi Sallallahu recited on this occasion. Let us learn the dua. And we recite it also on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of the Ummah. It's a very short dua, but very, very beneficial. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua on this occasion, amongst other duas as well. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ru'atina. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ru'atina. The English of it, that Allah conceal our faults. We all got faults, we all have mistakes, we all do things. But we make dua, Allah Ta'ala conceal it. Allah Ta'ala hide it, and Allah give us tawfiq to continuously make tawbah and to turn to Allah. Allah says, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua. Allahumma astur awratina. Allah conceal our faults. Wa amin rawatina. And oh Allah, whatever is a source of worry, fear, concern for us, remove it. Oh Allah, conceal our faults. And whatever is a source of worry, grief, concern, oh Allah, remove it. We make dua that Allah grant victory to the Muslims, especially in Palestine, Gaza, wherever they may be in the world. And this special dua that we taught us, we make it on behalf of all of our Muslims, wherever they may be in the world. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ru'atina wa akhir da'wana.